last word on Today FM.
Largely forgotten but not gone, at least not until next Monday. The US President Joe Biden, something of a lame duck since he lost, or Kamala Harris lost the election to Donald Trump in November. He made an outgoing speech, an exit speech last night, and it was pretty dark stuff. Let's hear an extract from it.
I have no doubt that America's in a position to continue to succeed. That's why my farewell address tonight, I want to warn the country of some things that give me great concern. Today, an oligarchy is taking shape in America of extreme wealth, power, and influence that literally threatens our entire democracy, our basic rights and freedoms, and a fair shot for everyone to get ahead. Now, we've proven we don't have to choose between protecting the environment and growing the economy. I'm equally concerned about the potential rise of a tech industrial complex that could pose real dangers for our country as well. Americans are being buried under an avalanche of misinformation and disinformation, enabling the abuse of power. The free press is crumbling. Editors are disappearing. Social media is giving up on fact-checking. The truth is smothered by lies told for power and for profit. AI could spawn new threats to our rights, our way of life, to our privacy, how we work and how we protect our nation. We need to amend the Constitution to make clear that no president is immune from crimes that he or she commits while in office. May you all be the keeper of the flame. May you keep the faith. I love America. You love it too. God bless you all.
Murray McKeown, he may be right in what he says, but how much responsibility does he have to take for not dealing with that during his time in office and not having a replacement ready to beat Donald Trump in the presidential election?
Well, I think these two things are somewhat separate, Matt. I think that what he said about the oligarchy, the unelected oligarchy taking shape, you cannot deny that. We have, as an example for the listeners there, the CEO of TikTok, which is going to be banned in America on Sunday, unless Trump issues an executive order on Monday to resurrect it or give it new breathing space, which he probably will, overturning a new bipartisan law in the process. Is going to be on the dais alongside Trump. So will Elon Musk, so will Jeff Bezos, so will Mark Zuckerberg, and so will the Google CEO Sundar Pichai. I mean, this is all the wealthiest, most powerful tech titans in the world, and they are all going to be up on the dais when Trump is sworn in on Monday. It is hard to argue with what Joe Biden said on that. As to his role in it, look, absolutely, it is... is such a blot and a stain on his legacy that he did not stick to his word when he campaigned in 2020, where he said he would be a president who passed the torch to the next generation after one term. He reneged on that after the midterms. It was a dreadful mistake. It was a mistake for which his legacy, which he's obsessed with, will pay dearly. And yes, he should have bowed out. He should have allowed a full primary. He should have allowed all of the governors who were chomping at the bit to get into the race to be able to thrash it out in plenty of time. So I think you can say he's responsible in that degree, but nobody, I think, foresaw the head-spinning speed with which Zuckerberg, Bezos, Musk, would just come running into Trump's corner and flood him with cash and agree to do whatever he wanted in exchange for, presumably, a lessening of regulations and having Trump's ear and becoming even wealthier.
Larry Donnelly, do you agree that he actually bears an awful lot of responsibility for what he now complains about?
I think he probably bears some responsibility. These guys have emerged and been allowed to operate largely without any hindrance in the United States. There's a very interesting point being made by some people now with respect to Elon Musk. And that is perhaps Musk was really turned off by Joe Biden because he wasn't invited to a meeting of electric vehicle manufacturers. He alone was excluded, and that purportedly was because Tesla workers weren't allowed to unionize. But evidently that infuriated Musk, and some are speculating that that might have led to this sort of drastic and dramatic turn to the right. So I think there is some question over Biden and his role in creating this context. But Marion is absolutely right. I mean, there's nothing he said there in the speech that I disagree with. I think there are important warnings to issue. But all of this comes in a context where, platitudes from some Democrats aside, most Americans, I think, are happy to see the back of him. Republicans, because they think he was a terrible president. Democrats, because they attribute Donald Trump's return to the White House to his, as Marion says, failure to step aside and be that next bridge to a new generation, as he had promised.
Does he have anything, Larry, that he can claim credit for that will leave a legacy?
Yeah, and he alluded to this in the speech, and, you know, this, he's done some things on infrastructure. He's done some things in terms of this, you know, pushing against this narrative that it's the economy or it's the environment. I think he's demonstrated some strength in that regard. I think he would say that there's been some foreign policy accomplishments in terms of competing with China. So there are some things he definitely can point to. But I think by and large, his presidency will be a largely forgettable one. And I think that will come, that criticism and scorn will come from across the political spectrum, I suspect.
Because, Marion, he did claim credit for the infrastructure law that he brought in, creation of 16 million jobs, which was a record, climate and green energy laws. But he did say it will take time to feel the full effect of all we have done, but the seeds are planted, which I suggest means that if it does work out, Trump will claim the credit. If it doesn't work out, Trump will blame Biden for what he did.
Well, there is a bit of a sense of deja vu in that Barack Obama handed Trump an economy that had been really slowly and painstakingly rebuilt from the fiscal crash of 2008. And then Trump claimed it all as his magic work on day one. And, you know, Biden is, inflation is slow, is rising again slightly, but Biden is handing Trump an economy that also he led the country out of COVID. I remember being in Washington at the inauguration in 2004, and it was such a bleak site with all, like, you know, more than half a million in 2021, and so many Americans, more than half a million were dead at that point, 4,000 a day were dying. And, you know, he led with a sort of a decency and a solidity that really people don't seem to value anymore. But, you know, he had his big mistakes. I don't think his foreign policy, certainly Ukraine, in the early days, it was a masterclass of diplomacy, of reuniting NATO, of getting the allies together. But that all faltered as well. I think his legacy on Gaza is very, very troubling. I don't think he always saw himself as the great international statesman. I don't think that has been borne out, particularly in his handling of Gaza, in the way that he let basically Bibi Netanyahu just run rings around him. So I think it's a mixed legacy. And one of the sadder things was Dick Durbin. You know, Biden has been in politics for 48 years, you know, as a senator for 36 of them, as a vice president for 8 years, and finally as a president. And he was very popular in Capitol Hill and respected. And Dick Durbin gave the kind of the eulogy, as it were, for his political career. There was nobody there. There was nobody there. And it was a really sad sight, I think, just to see that Biden, as you've said and as Larry has said, pretty well everyone is just glad that his presidency is over at this point.
Indeed, Larry. Even if his presidency, the end of the presidency, is marked by a ceasefire in Gaza and a 6-week truce between Israel and Hamas, if that gets endorsed by the Israeli cabinet tomorrow, I suspect most people will actually regard it as being essentially a deal brokered by Trump even before he has come to be the president.
Yeah, I mean, that's the sentiment that one keeps hearing, looking at, you know, reports and looking at what people are saying, is that the timing here is no coincidence. You know, just before the inauguration, this sense that Trump wasn't going to stand for this conflict to go on any longer. This the feeling in the U.S., the widespread feeling that Biden has been somewhat impotent. But I actually think that's a bit unfair. I think that the Biden administration should be able to take some credit for what's happened. Maybe not Biden himself, but certainly somebody like Antony Blinken, who has worked tirelessly and has exposed himself to criticism from all sides throughout the process. I think he's made some contribution here, and I think those long hours and the long work he's done should be recognized. But it comes down to the fact that he's leaving public life without any glory. And I think that there's an awful lot of bitterness there, both from him and his wife. You heard his wife, for instance, this week tell the Washington Post effectively that we thought Nancy Pelosi was our friend for 50 years. And she effectively knifed us in the back.
Yeah, but hang on. Isn't Jill Biden perhaps one of the biggest, despite her loyalty to her husband, despite her love for her husband, that she was blinded to his failings and his inability? And if she had actually acted earlier in the way that others, then maybe he would have been able to avoid the way that his legacy has been destroyed. That she should have been the one that talked him down from running again, and instead of leaving it to others to knife him in the back as she sees it.
I completely agree. I couldn't agree any more with your assessment. But what I would say is how they feel. And the truth is that Joe Biden was running for president for decades. Once he got to the top, it was going to be awful difficult to dislodge him, especially when people like his wife kept telling him, keep going, keep going. You're the only one who can do this. And I think that that will be how she and he are remembered ultimately.
Marion McKeown, just to finish with you, because we're going to go to movies and the death has just been announced of the director David Lynch. So I want to talk about that as well as the new Bob Dylan biopic. But do the Democrats have anybody who they can rally around now to actually build up to have midterms in 2 years to try and stop the Trump march?
I think two things will happen. I think the Trump march may stop itself. It may hit a wall or derail quite quickly. And I think that the midterms are always the referendum on how things are going. Trump has promised things he cannot deliver and that he will not be able to deliver. This tariff stuff is going to be crazy. It'll be catastrophic for the economy. He's promised all these massive taxes he can't, and to deport 11.7 million people. He cannot deliver these things. He promised, let's not forget, that the Ukraine war would be over before he even took office if he just won. Now they're saying, well, maybe it'll take another 6 months. He will not be able to deliver on his promises. And I think that Americans are going to get heartily sick of the drama and all these people around him. There's a civil war that's erupted between Steve Bannon and Elon Musk, and it is so vicious. I see the MAGA movement self-cannibalizing quite soon in the next couple of years, and amid the jockeying for power. So I really think that you also have a lot of very talented emerging Democrats and some very talented Democratic governors who are already saying, look, we're getting together. They forged a group. They're going to stand up to Trump. They intend to challenge him legally in the courts as well on a number of issues. So I think it's going to be an interesting couple of years. But as I say, I think the American people will have 2 years to see if the Trump version 2 is working. And if not, it'll be a pretty brutal midterm.
Thank you very much, Marion McKeown and Larry Donnelly, for being with us this evening.
The Last Word on Today FM.